been a man she looked up to. He robbed her of that, and I'd like to kill him for it. I'll do what I can to ease her worries. I was up in the tree during that storm because my dad was angry a lot. He would yell, and sometimes he'd hit my brothers and me.
But you're so strong.
Now I am, but I wasn't then. I remember being scared a lot when I was younger. It wasn't until I grew up and went into the military that I finally realized I didn't have to be scared anymore. I don't want her to wait that long, but there is hope.
I want to be a grown-up.
I laugh. It's not all it's cracked up to be, Squirt. The house comes into view and Hadley sighs.
When I'm a grown-up, I'll get to do what I want and won't have to go anywhere I don't want to.
The ignorance of youth. I sure as fuck don't want to be in Sugarloaf or have to fix up the farm I never wanted to see again. Nor did I want to get out of the Navy, but I had no choice. However, coming back here has given me something I never thought I'd get. A second chance.
Chapter 15. Ellie. She's all tucked in and fast asleep, I say as I make my way into the living room where Connor is sitting making a list of something. He looks up and smiles.
Good. She's probably exhausted.
We all are. At both Hadley and Connor's insistence, I decided to stay another night here. Ultimately, I made the decision to stay because Connor and I have a lot we need to talk about. My want for Hadley to feel comfortable, even if it means this conversation will be anything but for me, was another reason.
Yeah, do you think that we could talk?
He puts the paper down and nods.
I think that's probably a good idea.
How about we go on the porch? That way she doesn't overhear if she wakes up.
Sounds good.
I release a deep breath through my nose and follow him out. We sit on the porch swing, and I shiver from the drop in air temperature, but I have so much to say, I don't give myself a second to think about it. I want to tell you that I really have no idea if it's possible. I'd like to explain, if that's okay.
Of course.
I plan to bare my soul and hope I make it out of this without crumbling. I met you the night before I married Kevin. In some part of my brain, I knew I didn't love him and shouldn't marry him, but I felt like I had to. I truly believed he loved me and was just protective, maybe a bit jealous and insecure. It was the way he talked to or about me, you know? I convinced myself that once our relationship was secure, he'd be too. I was wrong. In my heart, I knew it wouldn't matter and I shouldn't do it. I went to the bar that night because I was lost, and that was the last place my parents were. They meant everything to me. They were killed in a hit and run close to the bar a week prior, and I'd been a mess since their death. My entire world was gone just like that, and I thought that if I could feel them, then I'd know what to do. But then you said hello, and I was so lost. It took one word for my entire life to feel as though it had been righted. You were so wonderful, and you looked at me like I was special and beautiful. We danced in that bar, and I wanted one night that every girl dreams of. Even if it could only be that solitary night. Even if it was so wrong. But it didn't have to be that once. He's right. If I hadn't left before he woke, I might have never married Kevin. Even if Connor had still left, maybe I would have found the courage to walk away, seeing what I could have had. I was so naive and didn't want the morning sun to wipe away the night we shared in darkness. Instead of facing the possibilities, I settled for what I thought was my only option. I hadn't really thought Connor could have been more because he was just as happy spending that night wrapped in anonymity as I was. I think we'd be lying if we said that was true. You were running from something too, if I remember correctly. We used each other to escape the reality of our lives. As much as I would like to believe there could be more, it wasn't true. And I've done enough pretending to know the difference. He looks out at the horizon and grips the bottom of the swing.
I was.
You're not married, so it couldn't be that. I attempt a little levity. Clearly it didn't work because he now looks as if he's haunted by something.
The night we met.
He trails off. I reach out, placing my hand on his, and his other hand covers mine. The shiver I experience this time has nothing to do with the cold. The night we met? I struggle to keep my voice even. Connor's face shows no emotion, but the air around us feels heavy. It's strange, and yet, I remember this same exact feeling the night we met. It was as though I felt his touch so deeply that I would never be the same. Our hearts became tangled as we bared ourselves in ways that I didn't know were possible.
It was so much more.
I know what you mean. He shakes his head, breaking us both from the odd connection.
My father was an abusive drunk who beat the shit out of me and my brothers.
A piece of me shatters from that one sentence. Connor.
No, I don't talk about this well, so let me try to get it out.
I press my lips together tightly, giving him the silence he asks for.
When my mother died, he became a completely different person. He drank constantly, and when the alcohol stopped numbing the pain, he decided to spread it around. My brothers took what they could to protect me, since I was the youngest and by far the smallest.
My chest aches, but I hold in any sound as he keeps talking.
When they left, it became a lot harder to avoid him. I learned that running made it worse. When I came back, I paid for it.
I wrap my fingers around his, giving him whatever support I can lend. I can't fathom the betrayal he must have felt when the one person he needed the most was the person breaking him. He's been so steadfast in his support for me, giving me what I needed without asking, and I have no idea if it's hurt him at all. Did he relive what he endured? Does he look at me and see a weak woman, even though he's the one telling me how strong I am? I'm so sorry. You never deserved that from anyone, least of all your father.
No one deserves to be hit, Ellie. No one. It doesn't matter whose hand it comes from. It's wrong and unforgivable. I vowed that I would never be like him, and I want you to understand how much I mean it. I would never hit someone in anger unless I'm trying to protect what's important to me.
I lift my other hand and gently touch his cheek. You don't have to try very hard to convince me. I see who you are. There isn't a trace of that man inside you. His fingers wrap around my wrist, pulling my hand down.
I've worked really fucking hard to make sure of that. My brothers as well. The night we met was probably the lowest I've ever felt. My father was in a state for months before my graduation. He was drinking more, finding ways to catch me off guard. I knew I had to get out of here, and I wasn't smart like Declan or Jacob, so there wouldn't be any scholarships. I didn't play basketball like Sean, so sports were out. I knew it was jail or the military, so I enlisted while I was a senior and never told him. That night, I let him know that I was leaving, and he lost it. He came at me hard, yelling and saying things I will never forget. He punched me, and I swung back. We fought, man to man, and it was the first time and only time I had let my emotions get the better of me. You can't for one minute think that any of it was your fault. You were defending yourself. He runs his hand over his face. I fought my father when he was out of his skull. I don't fault myself, but make no mistake that it wasn't because I was pissed. I had 10 years of rage from the beatings he inflicted and the hell he put us through built up inside me.
It's different. I know he probably won't see it that way, but this isn't the same at all. He didn't go looking for a fight. He responded to what was in front of him. And if I had gotten a bat and took it to Kevin's head, what would you say to me?
Good.
But you fighting off your own attacker is different how? Connor's hands clench and then he rubs his leg, seeming uncomfortable. I understand him in a way that maybe no one else can. I've lived it, fought with the guilt, and spent years thinking that maybe in some way I did deserve it because that was what I'd been told. I fought every day with the decision to stay 1 minute past the first time. Being a victim doesn't just happen in the moment. It follows me every second. I recognize it, and I hate that it's a bond we share. I'm also grateful I'm not alone.
Regardless, Connor begins again. A few hours after I woke up without you there, I was on a bus to basic training and haven't come back until he died a few weeks ago.
So many questions float around in my mind. If Connor had come back, even once, would it have been different? If I'd run into him, I would have felt something, or maybe he would have fought for me. There are a million what-ifs, but only one truth, and it's this moment in time.
I've often wondered if I was being punished for that night. He gets to his feet so fast that I gasp, but then his hands are on the back of the swing, steadying the movement.
Don't ever say that. What we shared isn't something that anyone would punish someone for. How could it be?
Because it was wrong of me. I was getting married the next day. I didn't regret what we did. I still don't regret it. But I should have never, ever gone back to that room with you.
I don't understand.
I married him. I went through with it. And all the while, I can't say it. If I do, it'll be a mistake. But then I look up and see the look in his eyes, see the way he's silently begging me to give him my truth. And God, I want to. I wished it could have been you. The man who smiled at me with the softest and most loving expression. You looked at me as though you needed me. And I know it was wrong, but I needed you. When he sits back down, his head falls in his hands before turning to look at me.
I did need you.
But we weren't each other's to have.
No, I guess we weren't.
I lean back, turning just enough to still be able to look at him and wondering if the moment we're sharing now could have been our daily life. Would we be sitting on the porch, talking at night, enjoying an honesty I'd never known existed until this moment? If things had gone differently that night, if I were braver and stayed, do you think we could have been something more? Connor lifts his body back up, his arm going across the back of the swing. I can see how easily I would fit into his side, as though I were made to go there. But I stay where I am because we've yet to talk about Hadley.
I don't know. Sometimes, when I envisioned what we may have been, it was so much more. But I think that the fantasy of that time was just that. I was fucked up when we met, dealing with emotions I wasn't mature enough to handle. That night was peace, but in the morning it was gone. Like you.
I was never gone. I was lost.
And what about now?
I look away, letting the question settle over me. I'd like to say that I'm finding my way. I'm not lost, but I'm not found. I'm hopeful that I'll be able to get where I should be. Connor takes my hand in his.
That's all any of us are doing, Ellie.
Some better than others. He laughs once, the sound echoing around us.
I'm the eternal bachelor, sworn never to have a family or a real relationship. I push everyone away. I'm not doing a damn thing better than anyone.
That leaves me sitting here wondering if he's upset with my possible revelation. And what if Hadley is yours?
Then I'll be the father I never had. And that girl will never have to fear for you or herself again.
Chapter 16. Connor.
Connor! Connor! Connor!
Hadley yells as she runs out to the barn. I've been working nonstop since she left for school. I finished my surprise about an hour ago and came to get some of the work I actually should have been doing for the farm done. Hey, how was school?
Good. I got to talk to the whole class about how a Navy SEAL rescued me when I hurt my arm.
Ellie is walking slowly behind her with a huge grin on her face that makes my heart stutter. God, she's beautiful. The sun is off to the side of her, and the skirt of her dress is blowing just slightly around her legs. She has a wrap around her shoulders, and her long brown hair is down. She looks breathtaking. Hey, I say with a hitch in my throat. Hey. Ellie's eyes brighten as she gets nearer. How was school for you? Ellie shrugs.
It was good, but I can't wait for Hadley to tell you all about her day.
I look down at her as she smiles so hard I worry her cheeks could break. So you talked about me, huh?
I did. And now you're going to come to school with me.
I stammer. I'm what? Her eyes go wide and she starts speaking at her normal speed, which is Mach 10 or 20 and still too fast for a normal man to keep up with.
I was telling them how you found me in the tree, but that I didn't really want to be found, but you're so smart and saved me. I told them about how you carried me with one arm because you're like Hercules. Then I changed my mind because you're even better, because you know how to use a gun since you were in the military. Then I was saying how, again, you came and helped me when I was in trouble, and how you're a hero and fought in the war, and how you're not afraid of anything except storms when you were little.
She draws a huge breath and keeps going.
Then I said I was going to bring you for show and tell because everyone wants to meet you because you're my best friend. Plus, no one has an adult for a best friend like I do. They didn't believe it, but you are. And Mom says I can't tell people you'll come to school and that I have to ask. Connor, will you come to school with me?
When she finally stops, she smiles and looks pleased with herself. I'm just in shock. I don't know about that.
You have to. You don't want me to fail, do you? Show and tell is for a grade.
I don't, right? I mean, that's the right answer, but it's also the absolute last thing I want to do. What the hell am I going to show and tell? No, I don't want you to fail, but I'm sure we can find something else that's even better.
It has to be you. I even wrote a paper about you so that it was approved by Mrs. Flanagan, and she's mean. She doesn't like kids, but they let her be a teacher anyway.
Oh, Jesus. Right, but I'm not really sure people want to meet me.
You're the coolest. My friends will love you.
Hadley's little voice sounds very sure of herself there. I need to get out of this, quick. I am sure there are a million other things that are much cooler and better options. Her lip juts out into a pout.
But you're what I want to bring.
I look over to Ellie for help, but she leans against the door opening with a knowing grin. There's no way to say no to this kid, especially not with the lip thing and the big eyes staring at me all innocently. Damn it. 10 minutes. Hadley leaps up and squeals.
You're the best.
No, she is, and I'm completely wrapped around her finger. If this kid is mine, I'm in even more trouble than I thought. There's no way I'll want to let her go. For each day I spend with her, there are hundreds more I want to make up for. There are 7 years I missed. And if she's my daughter, I'm going to want to make sure there isn't a single one added to it. I think you're overestimating how much people will want to meet me. Hadley shrugs.
My best friend is the coolest. Everyone is going to be so jealous. Can you wear your uniform?
Ellie laughs and then covers it with a cough.
That's enough, Hadley. Connor is working hard and we need to get your homework done.
First, I say with a little too much enthusiasm, I have something to show you.
You do?
I nod at Hadley. Yep. Let's take a walk.
Can Mom come?
Of course, we can all go, if she wants. We both look back to Ellie, who shrugs and pushes toward us.
I think a little fresh air would be good for all of us.
The three of us head out of the barn and start to head toward the tree, Hadley between us. I think about how we probably look right now. A family with a mother and father who adore the child between them. In many ways, that would be the picture's story because I do adore Hadley and I care very much about Ellie. In some ways, I love her, which is crazy, but it's there. Ellie has been the woman I've felt passion, love, and longing for almost my entire adult life. I know she isn't ready for anything. Hell, she's still married and about to deal with her husband's trial, but it's as though time didn't pass for me. She's been mine this whole time. And now I have to wait until she's ready for me. Again.
Meet you there.
Hadley runs off, leaving the two of us behind.
So, how did fixing up the barn go?
Ellie asks after a few seconds, her hands clasped in front of her. I didn't get much done, actually. I was working on something else.
Yeah?
Something for Hadley. Ellie's eyes find mine and there is a sea's worth of questions floating in them.
You didn't have to.
I know. Look, I know we talked last night, but I want to know if she's biologically mine. If she's not, I will do my damnedest to respect that she is his, but I hope you understand that regardless of the test results, it doesn't change how much I like her. She's a good kid. And she's... well, she...
You care about her?
I look up with a grin. I do. And I care about her mother, too.
We both kinda like you as well,
Ellie says with a smirk.
Just a little.
Also, you guys can stay with me until you feel safe to return. Ellie releases a breath through her nose as her fingers graze the top of the hay that's growing in the field.
Hadley would stay here forever with you. I don't know that she'll ever feel safe at that house. And I can't blame her, but you don't need two troublesome females around you.
I don't want to tell her that it's exactly what I need, that them staying here has made being in this house easier. The memories aren't so loud when they are around, and I much prefer seeing their faces than the ghost of my father when I enter the room. Instead, I try to give her a part of that truth. You're not bothering me at all, and if Hadley
is yours,
she finishes. If it is the case, then I really am grateful for the time I have right now. Ellie's fingers move to the side, brushing against mine. I don't know if she did it on purpose, but I'm not one to let a moment pass me by. My hand slides into hers and I hold on. She looks to me, and I watch her, waiting for a clue as to what she wants.
And if she's not,
then I have a pretty cool best friend. Her smile makes my heart flip over in my chest. I want her to look at me like this each day. I want to be the man who makes my angel look like she could fly. Her wings may have been broken years ago, but I'm really good at restoring things. Neither of us says a word as we near the tree, but Ellie pulls her hand back when we hear Hadley yell.
Whoa, this is the best thing in the world!
I look at the fully decked out treehouse that I spent hours building, and then to both of them. Ellie's eyes glaze over with moisture as she watches Hadley, who is already climbing the steps.
You did this?
Every kid should have a safe place. Ellie turns to me, her lips parted, the sun casting a soft glow over her face as it dips closer to the horizon. Her voice is soft.
You spent your whole day doing this for her. Connor.
I shove my hands into my pockets to avoid touching her face. She's so damn beautiful. This tree was where I would run if I could get away from my father. It's where I found Hadley. And it doesn't have to hold the same memories for her as it did for me. I did it for both of us and for you.
For me?
Yes, for her. As I was building, I kept thinking of my mother. It was as though she was there with me, telling me how proud she was as she smiled. I can't take a shot if I don't break the bow, Ellie. I'm strong enough to hold off on releasing the arrow until you're ready. Her eyes widen and her breath hitches. It was worth it. The sweat, frustration, and deviation of plans just to see that look. We may have lost our chance years ago, but I'm not a kid anymore, and I have my target set. I'm waiting for the sights to align.
Chapter 17. Ellie. I appreciate you meeting me like this, I say to Nate's friend Sydney as we sit in the teacher lounge. Not a problem at all, honestly. Sydney was the volunteer EMT on scene, but she is also a lawyer I hired to help me draw up divorce papers. I know this is weird. Why? Just that you were there. And then you and Connor were arguing. She laughs through her nose. Connor and I have argued like that since, well, forever. He's lucky I didn't deck him for the way he tried to push me away. It is as though that man thinks he can come back here and suddenly be king of the castle. I don't think so. He made his choices, and while he may think he's a new man, he can kiss my ass if he's going to order me around. A pang of jealousy hits me in the gut, and I do my best to ignore it. It's clear they've had some kind of relationship. I wonder if he loves her or if she still loves him. Sydney is what I would call an old-world beauty. She's the type of regal-looking woman you would expect to find in New York or London, not Sugarloaf. Her golden hair is pulled back into a low knot, with wisps of hair falling out. She's wearing a black pantsuit with the most beautiful red heels I've ever seen. Everything about her says confidence, where I feel small and insignificant. I didn't know. Didn't know what? I feel awkward, but there's obviously history between them. That you two were together. Sydney rears back. Her lips are parted, but there is a smile of amusement tugging at them.
Oh no, it's nothing like that. Connor is like a little brother to me. I dated his older idiot brother, Declan, from the time I was 13 until the asshole left town and never returned. All of them are the same, though. Domineering, protective, and attractive. Oh, and stupidity runs in their veins. My body breathes a sigh of relief. I don't know why, since Connor and I are just friends who possibly have a child together, but it's there. I'm sorry to assume. Don't be sorry, she smiles, giving me a feeling of reassurance. Are you okay to talk about this with me? I want to be sure you're comfortable. If you worry I'll betray you because I know Connor, I can promise you that not only is it illegal and I lose my license, but also that I would never tell anyone what we spoke about, even if there weren't that threat. Not to mention, it will bug him to no end, and I would get far too much joy out of that. I'm not comfortable talking to anyone, but Sydney seems kind, and she was there that night. She isn't looking at me with judgment, and that's about the most I can ask for. No, it's not that, and I don't think you would. I'm sure you can imagine that this is humiliating, and you don't have to feel that way with me. I wish it were that simple. I'd like for all of this to be a bad dream I'm about to wake up from. I'm okay. I want this over with. I can understand that. I know you've been through a lot, and this will be no different. Right now, we have the temporary order of protection for both you and Hadley, which then allows us to move forward with the divorce once the 90-day waiting period is up. I don't think we'll have any problems proving fault, since we have photos and a police officer's testimony of your husband's abuse, if it's okay with you. My hands start to tremble and I feel sick to my stomach. This is the reason that so many women stay quiet. The fear of speaking out and it falling on deaf ears. If I go before the judge and tell him everything, what if he deems it's not enough and lets him out? Sure, the judge refused bail, which makes me want to believe the courts will rule in my favor. But even Nate said it was the luck of us drawing a judge who was on a mission. What if I have one who doesn't feel that way for the divorce? Without the conviction, Kevin could contest the divorce and use this as another way of controlling me. Do you mean they still might not believe me? They might think I'm lying about the abuse and not convict him? Even when there are witnesses and everything? Sydney puts her pen down and places her hand on mine. Ellie, it doesn't matter if the case doesn't go as planned. We know what happened, and I believe you. You're not alone. You didn't do anything wrong, and no matter what, I'll help you get out of this as quickly as possible. I don't want him to hurt us again. I know, and I'm going to do everything I can to prevent it. I push out a deep breath and drop my chin to my chest, saying, I should have done this years ago. You're strong to do it at all. I want to say I'm sorry. She squeezes my hand. You've lived here a long time and none of us ever reached out. I always assumed you didn't want to be a part of the community. I shake my head as the feelings of loneliness resurface with a vengeance. I wasn't allowed to really be a part of things. I see that now. Plus, it's hard to have friends when you're covering bruises. Sydney pulls her hand back and her shoulders slump. I hope you know that you don't have to cover anything anymore, Ellie. I'd really like to be your friend, if you'd like to be mine. A friend. It's such a simple word, and yet it's something I haven't had in so long. I don't even know what it means. Still, Sydney is kind and offering me an olive branch that I never would have taken before. I'd really like that. She smiles. Good. Now, let's go over the details and get our information ready so we can file the second we're allowed to, okay? Okay. I'm going to do everything I can to put this behind me, and this is step one. Mommy? Hadley asks as we walk through the field to get to our home to get some clothes and things we need. It's been a week of making it work, but that isn't really possible anymore. We need more clothes and supplies if we're going to keep staying with Connor. Yes? Why did Daddy hit you? My hand tightens just a bit as the question catches me off guard. I'm not sure how to answer her. Hadley may be only 7, but she's smart and sees things. She isn't young and gullible. This is a chance for me to help guide her into not making the same mistakes that I did. I want her to know that it's not okay. No one should ever lay their hands on her, especially not in anger. I stayed too long. made too many excuses, but not anymore. I straighten up a bit and work to make my voice sound confident. He hit me because he was angry and couldn't control himself. It's never okay to do that. You know that, right? It was wrong of him to do it. Is he sorry? No, I doubt he was. I sure hope so.
Does he love us?
Oh, my heart is breaking apart. I think he loves you very much. Hadley is, of course, too smart to miss that I left myself out.
Does he love you, Mommy?
I believe he tries really hard, but now I'm going to break her world. But when you love someone, you never want to hurt them. What he did is never okay to do, and it is never the way you show someone you care about them. Do you understand? She looks up at me, and I pray she hears what I'm saying. I think so. I squat down in the field of straw and pray that this little girl will never allow someone to hurt her. It doesn't matter if it's a daddy, a husband, a friend, or someone you don't know. No one should ever be allowed to hurt you. You should tell someone right away if it happens. Don't ever be afraid that it's your fault, because it's not ever your fault. Hadley bobs her head, but her gaze never leaves mine. I love you, Mommy. I love you, sweet girl. I want you to know that what happened will never happen again. You and I won't live with Daddy anymore.
Why not?
Protecting her from the truth has been all I've ever done. I don't want her to hate him, but I want her to see strength from me. She should always understand that the choice I'm making right now may not be easy, but that it's the right one. I can't be married to him. I won't let him be around Hadley and let her think that it's the way a marriage should be. Because I'm not going to stay married to him anymore. We're going to move out of that house, and we're going to be okay. A tear falls down her face, and I wish I could take it away from her.
Did I do something wrong?
No, baby. You did nothing, and neither did I. I'm doing this because I have to protect us. I know it's scary and a lot to worry about, but I want you to know that I love you very much, and I'm going to do whatever I have to so that we're safe.
But doesn't he love me?
Who could resist loving you? I ask her.
If he loved me, he wouldn't want us to leave.
Telling her was what I feared. I never want Hadley to think this is her fault. Do you like when Daddy yells at us? She shakes her head. Me either. I don't want either one of us to be afraid anymore. You and I, we're strong girls, and no one is going to yell at us anymore. You are the best little girl any mother could ask for, and part of my job is to protect you.
Will he come back for us?
No, he won't be around us anymore. No matter what I have to do, I'll keep that promise. We'll find somewhere to live that we both love.
Can we stay with Connor?
I smile softly. Comfort fills my soul that he's come to mean so much to her. No, honey. Connor isn't staying in Sugarloaf for long, and while he's been very good to us, he has his farm he needs to deal with. And I'm not even close to ready at this point for that.
I think he likes you.
I think he likes you, I say with a giggle. You got a treehouse on his farm, and he's going for show and tell. And he might be your dad.
I'm going to be sad when he leaves.
I will too. I will miss the way he looks at me, as well as his unwavering strength and understanding and support. Well, we have to make the next few months super special then. Come on, let's keep walking. We make our way through the field as she tells me about her day. She's a little quieter than normal, less animated, and I hate that this conversation dulled her. I know that if I don't stand up now, I'll never get up off the ground. When the house comes into view, a wave of nausea hits me like a brick. All of it rushes back to me, and I can hear the sounds in my ears, the rush of breath coming from my lungs when he kicked me, the loudest of all. All of it took place right here, in my home. Hadley's breathing accelerates, and I squeeze her hand tight. It's okay. We're going to get our things and then go back. But no one can hurt us, okay? I'm not sure if I'm trying to reassure her or myself at this point. Maybe we both needed to hear it.
He's not here?
No, baby, he's not here. I hate that my child is so afraid, so I tell myself to be the strength she needs to see and take a step forward. Using my determination to thrust me closer to the house that was a horror just a week ago, I hold on to the need I have to protect Hadley.
I recall each time that Kevin took something from me, and I refuse to give him anything else. I hold her little hand tighter, showing her that even if we hit rock bottom, the only way to go after that is up. As we get to the front door, another sense of dread hits me. I don't know what the house looks like. All Hadley has ever known is the perfect home. I was meticulous at making sure everything was clean and in its place so that Kevin couldn't use it as a reason to hit me. When I left that night, there were definitely things knocked over. Shit. I open the door, which someone had clearly had replaced, and hope it's not as bad as I fear it will be. Then I stop, stunned. Everything is in its place. The photo that was thrown across the room is sitting back on the sofa table as though it had never been touched. The lamp that Kevin threatened to bash over my head isn't on the floor where he dropped it. It's sitting on the end table. I don't understand. How? Who came in and cleaned? Hadley releases my hand when she spots her beloved doll over in the corner. Phoebe! She runs at full speed, lifting it into her arms and hugging it tightly. Can I bring her back to Connor's? I'm sure he won't mind. I smile softly, relieved that she got past her fears, and thankful that someone had come in and cleaned up so Hadley didn't have to see the destruction. Chapter 18. Ellie. When we get back to Connor's house with a bag of clothes each, there's a very expensive SUV parked next to his. Who is that, Mommy? Hadley asks. I don't know. We walk toward the car and the driver door opens. A pair of red heels hit the dirt, and I smile. Hi, Sydney, I say as I make my way over. I was hoping I'd find you here. Hadley, this is Miss Sydney. Sydney extends her hand. It's nice to meet you. They shake, and Hadley looks up to the house.
It's nice to meet you, too. You have really pretty shoes.
Thank you. Sydney's voice is laced with a smile. You have very pretty eyes. My heart lurches to a stop as I wonder if she sees it. If Sydney knows the brothers as well as she says she does, will she be observant enough to figure it out?
Thank you, Miss Sydney. Mommy, can I go find Connor?
I don't think.
Please. I have to help with the barn. I'm sure he's there. He said once I was done with school I could help him because he needs help. Yesterday he let the chickens out the wrong door and I had to chase them so they'd go back in. You can't let the chickens run around when the cows are there.
Hadley huffs as though it's common knowledge.
I told him, but he said he was trying to get things done so he could go back to repairing the house. Then we found another problem in the fence, so he was upset.
Well then, don't you think he has a lot to do and you'll be in the way? I ask, hoping she'll leave him be. Sydney laughs. I think you should go find him and let him know all the other things that are broken.
You know Connor?
The suspicion in her voice rings clear. I do. I knew him when he was a little boy who would follow me around, asking to ride my horses.
Really?
Yep.
Hadley's brow furrows as she looks Sydney up and down. Did you know he's my best friend and he thinks I'm the best?
He is. Well, he's a lucky guy. Sydney's voice is light and playful. I wish I had a best friend like you, but he got you first.
She nods once. He did. And he calls me Squirt.
Sydney's smile grows. You have a nickname for him?
I do.
Wow, do you know that Connor loves nicknames? When we were little, I gave him the best one, and since you're his best friend, I think you should have it.
Hadley claps her hands together and squeals.
Really? Absolutely. You should call him Ducky. He loved it so much, and he would laugh so hard hearing it again. Sydney's smile tells me that he will not do that.
Okay. Can I go, Mom?
I guess so. But if you don't find him in the barn, please come right back.
I will,
Hadley yells over her shoulder since she's already running away from us. Sydney gives a soft laugh. She's adorable. I watch her run at full speed, hair swaying side to side, and my chest feels lighter. She looks so carefree, like she should be. I try to remember any other time I'd seen her like this, and I come up short. Sure, she's been happy in the last 7 years, but it's different. Right now, I don't see the hesitancy to just be a kid. It's as if she's really found a sense of safety that allows her to be free. She's all that matters to me. And it seems she's smitten with Connor.
I nod. The two of them have formed an instant bond.
Sydney's shoulders go back and she fidgets a bit. I know she's thinking it, based on her comment about her eyes. If Sydney dated his oldest brother, surely she saw the resemblance.
Connor is a good man.
He is.
He's been through a lot. They all have been, and
did you and Connor know each other before?
I stop her right there.
Connor and I slept together 8 years ago, and yes, I know that Hadley has his eyes and his smile. She exhales. I didn't want to pry, but it was impossible not to see. At least for me, because, well, I fell in love with those eyes when I was a little girl.
If it was so easy for Sydney to see, I can't help but wonder if Connor's father ever noticed. He used to look at Hadley with a wash of confusion, but he never said anything or even so much as hinted at it.
Maybe he knew?
Maybe that was why he was always so nice to us. I figured it was because he was lonely. But what if he saw the similarity?
Would you like to sit? I offer.
It's a long story. Sydney and I walk up to the porch, and I can see the unease in her.
This house, it has a lot of memories for me. I haven't been here since the night Declan left. She lets out a half laugh. I thought if I could avoid it for long enough, it wouldn't hurt, but
houses have truths that don't ever die.
She looks up at me and shrugs. I guess so, but love sure as hell does.
Isn't that the truth?
We sit, and I relay the story of how Connor and I met and all that happened after. It feels easier this time, telling Sydney. I'm able to go through it, and she just listens.
Wow, she says once I'm done.
Yeah.
And he knows that you have doubts?
He does, I reply with a bit of hesitancy. He hasn't really brought it up. I keep waiting for him to ask for a paternity test, but it has yet to come. I would think that would have been the first thing he wanted, unless he doesn't want to know, which doesn't make sense given his personality. Connor is fiercely protective of his family. He's made that clear when he speaks of his brothers or his mother. I would think that Hadley would be no different, especially since he already seems to care for her.
Well, this is a bit of a revelation.
Will it change things for the divorce? Sydney shakes her head.
Nope. If anything, it'll make it easier for you since we won't have to fight about any kind of child support or visitation.
Did you guys get a test yet?
No, we sort of... It hasn't really... I've been waiting for him to ask for one. I don't want to push him. It's a lot to take in, especially when that night was supposed to just be that. I didn't even know his name until a few weeks ago.
She laughs and her eyes are filled with disbelief.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
I don't know whether to be in awe or be in shock. It's like those stories that you hear about when people find their way back together after 50 years, but this is so much more amazing.
I don't know if it's anything other than happening. Connor has saved me, and not only from the situation that happened with Kevin. If I had never had that one night with him, if I hadn't known that there was more than what I had, I would have given up a long time ago.
Well, that's all of it. Sydney leans back in her seat.
That's so insane, and yet, so Connor.
What's so Connor?
His deep voice causes me to jump.
Hey, hi. We were just talking about you.
He and Hadley share a look and then start to climb the stairs.
I figured that much. Nice to see you, Sid. Anything I can do for you?
She gets up, hand on her hip and head tilted.
You can start by telling me how much you've missed me.
I would, Goose, but it seems that my friend Hadley here is calling me Ducky. Any idea how that came about?
Her smile is wide as she bursts out laughing.
God, that night was the best thing ever. She turns back to me. You see, the Arrowwood brothers are inherently evil, at least to each other. There is nothing off limits, and if they know your weakness, they use it. Connor here was afraid of this pond on my farm. It could have been because Declan, Jacob, and Sean told him that if you put your toes in, they'd fall off, but only if your name started with a C.
Connor moves up the steps.
Don't let her fool you. She is far from innocent here. Sid was the sister I never wanted.
Please, I was always nice to you, she defends.
The hell you were.
Anyway,
Sydney starts in after giving him an eye roll. We told Connor we wanted to play Duck Duck Goose, but the only way to play was to act like a duck. I see this going very badly. Connor glares at her with a sort of brotherly affection under all that gruff.
In the water.
Of the pond at my house, Sydney tacks on. Then his brothers tossed him in and forced him to be the duck. Oh, you should have seen him, terrified that his toes were going to fall off, but making duck sounds at the same time. It was priceless. Sydney's arms were wrapped around her stomach as she laughs. I can't help but join in because his expression right now is priceless. It's as though he still hasn't gotten over it and he hates that she's telling stories he clearly would rather I not know. Did he catch any of you? I ask. Nope, he was quacking and running away. He moves closer to me.
Yeah, you should all be so proud of torturing a 6-year-old. And you can laugh now, but when my mother showed up, none of you assholes were at that time.
Sydney rolls her eyes again. You got all of us grounded for a month.
Deservingly.
Please, it was 2 feet of water, you big baby. Connor turns to me.
Do you see why I left this town? It's filled with horribly mean people who have no remorse.
I shrug. I think you survived okay. He shakes his head and then turns to Sydney.
What are you doing here anyway? No one invited you, that's for sure.
Well, Sydney moves to me, placing her hand on my shoulder. Ellie and I are now best friends, Ducky. You're going to have to accept this as a fact and realize that if you're hanging around her, it will include some time with me. He grins as though it doesn't bother him in the least.
It's all good, Sid. I know exactly how to handle you.
Oh, Lord, that sounds ominous. However, this volley back and forth is the most fun I've had in years. These two clearly adore one another, but have no problem giving the other shit. It's what I always imagined having a sibling would be like. And how exactly is that? She asks. His grin spreads, and there's a look of mischief in his eyes.
I'll call Declan.
And with that, I see that Sydney and I may both be captivated by an Arrowwood.
Hey,
Connor says with an easy smile as he makes his way into the living room where I'm grading papers. It's been a crazy night, and I'm still trying to get caught back up from being out of work after the beating. Hey! Complete words die on my tongue as I look up and get a look at him. He must have just gotten out of the shower because he's in a pair of gym shorts and no shirt with damp hair. There are a few drops of water rolling down his chest. My throat goes dry as I drink him in. I can see each muscle with perfect clarity as though he's in high definition. His hair is slicked back, and my fingers itch to touch it. He rubs his hand against the smooth skin of his chest and then up to his neck. I've seen him with his shirt off. Hell, I've seen him naked, but this body is a whole new world of wow. I turn to keep myself from swooning off the chair.
Working,
he asks as he moves behind me, reading over my shoulder. Oh my God, get a grip, Ellie. But I can't because I can feel the heat coming off his chest and smell the musky soap that he used. His arm comes down to the right of me, resting his hand on the table, using it to hold his body up. Uh-huh, I stay, completely frozen, afraid that if I move, I might accidentally touch him, which then might lead to me saying or doing something incredibly dumb. That seems to be something I've been fighting a bit harder with each day I'm here. Kissing him is all I think about. Wondering if we fit together the way we did all those years ago fills my fantasies. It's dangerous ground, but the injuries might be worth it.
Need help?
I shake my head and try to focus on the very non-sexy English papers about punctuating dialogue I should be grading.
Ellie.
I move my head to the side to look up at his face, hoping that maybe that will be better than the muscles in his arm that are so close. Yeah? He grins, eyes crinkling, and I realize I made a grave mistake. His face is really what's beautiful, and when he smiles, well, it's damn near impossible not to get lost. But I don't need to be lost. I need to keep my head on straight, get a divorce, and get the hell out of here.
You going to stay up much later?
No, in fact, I'm going to my room right now so I don't do anything I regret. I'm done, actually.
I was asking because I have to get up early tomorrow. I want to work on the main house instead of the barn. I'd like to check the house and lock up, but I usually wait until you're in bed.
Yeah, all done. Not a big deal. Main house is good. Locks and all that. I stammer like a fool.
You all right?
I'm great, I say way too quickly, gathering the papers into stacks that make no sense but needing to do something with my hands. I'm just tired, you know, working and all the other stuff. Plus, Sydney has the divorce papers all drawn up and it's been a lot to sort through.
So you're going through with it?
I look up, pulling the papers to my chest as though they're some kind of barrier of protection.
Of course. I hadn't heard anything.
I wasn't sure what to tell him. It's one of those things I don't really want to talk about. But at the same time, Connor and I have spent the last 2 weeks practically living together, which is strange. I'm sorry, I sort of have been waiting since we can't serve him for a bit. He shakes his head.
Don't apologize. You don't owe me any explanations.
No, maybe I don't owe it to him, but I guess I could have mentioned it. But then I think about the last few times we've talked and how those conversations have been about what he's working on here or my job. We've been almost avoiding talking about things that are personal. I don't know why that is, but there's something that's been bothering me for a few days now. Connor, can I ask you something? I say before I have time to stop myself.
Of course.
I swallow the nerves since it's too late to go back now. Do you want to find out if Hadley is yours? His eyes meet mine, and my heart races as I wait for him to say something, anything.
More than anything.
Then why haven't you said anything? He moves closer, pulling the papers from my hands and placing them down on the table.
Because you've been through hell, and so has she. While I want to know if she is my daughter more than I've wanted anything in my entire life, I also won't be selfish and demand it happen now. I can wait, Ellie. I can wait until you're ready.
Ready for what? He lifts his hand, pushing the hair off my face. His voice is soft, careful, and yet there's a confidence underlying it all.
Me.
Chapter 19. Connor. How are things going? Sean asks after avoiding my phone calls the last 2 weeks. Like you give a fuck. I get that my brother is some big-time baseball player, but he's fucking annoying when he thinks no one else's time is as valuable as his. Declan is helping figure out the land values thanks to one of his clients who deals in real estate. Jacob is doing God knows what, but Sean was going to reach out to some guy named Zach Hennington, who he played baseball with, to figure out the damn cows since he has a cattle ranch. I'm failing at this part. I have no clue what to do with the animals other than what a very adorable 7-year-old who instructs me to do. Which I have no clue if that's even right, but it's better than what I've been doing so far. Ellie's farmhands have been helping me a bit when I have questions, but they're busy running her farm. Even though I grew up around the animals, I never really cared much about learning how to run it. I did my chores, which were usually mending fences or the carpentry-type things, and my brothers dealt with the animals. Look, I'm busy, he explains. I did my best, but I have shit going on. And I don't? I throw back at him. I know absolutely nothing about cows, Sean. You're supposed to handle that part. I gave Deck his number. I huff and curse under my breath. Declan is just as bad lately at calling me back. In fact, the three of them can kiss my fucking ass. I've been here a month, busting my ass, with absolutely no help other than Declan getting funds to me, which was something I had to call 10 times about, while they live their lives, oblivious to the shit I'm dealing with. A lot of good that does me, asshole. I need some help. All of you guys were supposed to do something, and instead I'm doing it all on my own, like always. What crawled up your ass? You're even more of an asshole than usual. I sit on the bale of hay, rubbing my fingers across my forehead. I could tell him everything. Part of me wants to, and Sean is the only brother who knows about my angel. But even telling him a sliver of what's going on will force me to answer too many questions. Still, my brothers are all I've ever had. They're family. They have never turned their backs on me, and to be honest, I feel like I'm drowning right now. Connor, I found her. I say before I have a chance to think better of it. Found who? Her. Sean goes silent for a second and then lets out a breathy laugh. No shit. She's here. In fucking Sugarloaf. And that's not even all of it. I tell him everything. I talk and talk, probably saying more in this one conversation than I've said to my brother in the last 10 years. He doesn't say a word as I unload the last few weeks and all the revelations. I even go over details that I don't want to remember but can't seem to forget. I tell him about Ellie, Hadley, the tree, the house, the beating, and how they're living here. Once I'm done, I feel like I've completed a workout and can't catch my breath. My heart aches, head pounds, and I'm winded. So it seems you've been rather busy, baby brother. That's all you have to say? No, but I'm not really sure I can gather anything more than that. A lot of help he is. Thanks, Sean. Look, you just told me that the girl you spent the last 8 years dreaming about, who is apparently some ethereal being who walks on water, is staying with you because she just left an abusive husband. On top of that, you might have a kid with said woman? Give me a fucking second to digest all this. I release a heavy breath through my nose and then look up at the ceiling. What a damn mess. I'm not sure what to do. Do? About Ellie, I can't get my head straight. I look at her and my heart races. I think about her and I fight the urge to find her. It's ridiculous. Then there's the fact that all I want is more. I've tried to deny my growing feelings. Ellie isn't ready to even think about anything with me. I've waited for her for so long that the last thing I want is for it to fall apart because I pushed her too hard. I want her to want me. I don't want it to be because of her ex.
Tell me that you haven't...
What? He hesitates, which is very unlike him. You didn't do anything with her, like after her attack. If he were in front of me, I'd lay his ass out. If you're asking if I've slept with Ellie again, the answer is no. No, I am not a selfish asshole who would take advantage of a woman who is in the middle of hell. I didn't mean it like that. Simmer the fuck down. I'm saying that this situation is pretty nuts, and I also know what it's like to feel something even when it's wrong. Sean has been in love with his best friend for the last 12 years. The problem is she's in love with someone else. His only saving grace is that she lives here and he doesn't have to see her anymore. I didn't say there aren't feelings. I figured, and then there's the kid. Yeah, then there's Hadley. If she's mine, you need to find out. I blow out a deep breath and get to my feet. The chances are that she's not. Okay, and there's a chance she is. You said she has the arrowhead eyes, right? Even Sid noticed it. I tell him. Sean bursts out laughing. Sydney, like Declan's Sydney? The same one. How the fuck are you handling all this on your own, Connor? You're back in Sugarloaf, which is bad enough, but now you got this girl, a possible daughter, and Sydney. Hell, next you're going to tell me that Devney and her boyfriend are coming for dinner. I smirk. That's your mess, brother. Yeah, well, I guess we all have shit to deal with, huh? Some more than others. I'm not sure how I feel at this point. More than anything, I want to know if Hadley is mine. But there's a lot of things that could happen once that knowledge is revealed. Right now, I'm not her father. I don't have to parent her. I get to enjoy spending time with her. Then there are feelings for Ellie that are unexplainable. I love her. I know it. I know that it's also the absolute last thing she needs to hear from me. She doesn't need to hear that she is the only woman I want, and I will wait an eternity if that's what it takes to earn her. The hell she's endured might take her that long to get over as well. But if I know Hadley is mine, I'm not sure I'll be able to hold back. I'll want them both to be mine. I feel like the bastard knew all this. I admit something that's been on my mind. Dad? My father was a bastard. But him putting bullshit stipulations in his will wasn't like him. Why did he care about us being here? What the hell did any of it matter if we kept it for 2 years or not? Unless he suspected as well. There's a reason that he wanted us all to return here, and not just for some sort of nostalgic bullshit. Why else did he want us here? Sean goes quiet for a second, and then snorts. You know, I wouldn't doubt it. Declan has unresolved issues with Sid. You love Devney and never grew a pair to tell her. I might have a daughter, and well, who knows what the fuck we're going to uncover with Jacob. I don't love Devney. He tries to sound convincing. Sure you don't. She's getting married. And she wouldn't marry that idiot if she thought there was even a chance of having you. We both know it. Sean's voice is low and full of frustration. We also made a vow. We did, but we were kids then. Clearly shit has changed. Well, I might have a kid. And if that's the case, the vow is no longer valid. Which is another thing I'm struggling with. My word to my brothers is everything, but I'm willing to endure their wrath if it means I can have her.
Chapter 20. Ellie. It's late and I can't sleep. I toss and turn in a large and empty bed, my mind going in a million directions. I'm in one of his brother's old rooms while Connor is on the other side of the wall. The three of us have fallen into a strange routine over the last 3 weeks. Each day, I take Hadley back to our house, do something menial, and try to spend a bit more time there than we spent the day before. Today, she struggled more than usual. She was antsy and kept looking around. A book fell out of my bag, making a loud thwack noise and causing her to run out of the house. I don't know how we'll return to living here if she's this fearful. Then my thoughts moved to how I don't really seem to be in a rush to move back home either. Connor has been nothing but sweet and thoughtful. He's always doing little things with Hadley or making sure I'm okay. Then there's the way he looks at me, heat and want in his eyes that sends currents through my body. Just like the night we met, there's chemistry that hasn't ebbed. I think about how, on the other side of the wall, he's sleeping. What would it be like to go through his door instead of mine at the end of the day? It's a thought I shouldn't be entertaining at all. I huff and rise out of bed, tug on an off-the-shoulder sweatshirt, and head out to the kitchen. Maybe moving around for a few minutes will help me settle and get some sleep. I go to the fridge, grab the milk, and pour a glass. I stand there, hands on the counter, wondering how this is my life. When I turn around, I nearly drop the milk when I see a profile of someone in the darkness standing in the doorway. Fear grips me so tightly I can't draw breath. I open my mouth to scream, but the voice stops me.
It's just me, Connor says quickly, hands up in the air. You're okay.
Jesus Christ, I almost had a heart attack. I thought it was Kevin waiting for me, watching me, ready to drag me back to my house and finish what he started. Maybe Hadley isn't the only one who is still not okay.
Sorry, I heard something and came to check.
He steps into the room. My heart is racing so fast that I clutch the milk jug, trying to catch my breath. I was thirsty, and I thought I was quiet. He moves slowly until he's standing in front of me and then gently pulls the milk from my clutches.
I hear everything. I blame it on years of being in the military and sleeping in half measures. I didn't mean to scare you.
I wish I could say he doesn't scare me, but in so many ways he does. He's the man I find myself thinking of during the day. The guy my daughter